scriptures. So today we remember and think upon the day of Pentecost.
Lero liti tichitamakumbukira maso kulingalira tsiku la Pentecost.
And why is it that this Sunday, this day, is the day that we are remembering
this?
Those of you who have been following the feasts have know that something preceded Pentecost. When we look at the Old Testament, and the New Testament, there's great differences in administration. Old Testament always is a picture and a sign what will take place in the New Testament. With the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And it's so important for us to study God's Word. So that we may begin to understand what God is speaking in all of these festivals. So that we're very careful not to celebrate these festivals in a literal manner. But we celebrate these festivals spiritually. So many people, especially in Malawi, are still trying to figure out what to do like they did in the Old Testament. Still very busy with the law, literal law. Ten Commandments. But there is so much to learn in Christ. And these are the things we must learn. Because God uses this knowledge, His word, so that our soul may receive life. Pentecost. It was one of the seven remembrances in the Old Testament. Something preceded that. And we know that as the Passover. We've studied this in the last few weeks, where we also saw the Sabbath, the Passover, and the first fruits. If you are amongst us, you'll remember this. In the afternoons. But I'm going to try to bring it as plain as I can to you. All seven of these remembrances are pointing towards something. All seven of these physical festivals that Israel had to celebrate were all pointing to something ahead. Now then you might understand what the Passover was pointing to. We've already gone through this. Remember they had to kill a lamb on the night that they were on the night that they were going to go out of Egypt. They roasted the lamb. They were eating the lamb that night with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do you know what that means? I have to be very quick because we're going to teach more about Pentecost. But I can't do that unless you have at least a general understanding of the Passover. Israel is in bondage. They are under slavery. They are have to work very hard. And God is going to deliver them. We know this story. Now, he's very specific on how he's going to deliver them. That's you and me too. We remember the Passover by having bread and wine together. So what does it mean? You and me are in bondage. We are slaves to sin. Automatically. No one is accepted. That's how we are born. We are born in, David says, I was conceived and born in sin.
David
we are in slavery. In bondage to our father. Who is our father by nature? Does anyone want to say? That's true. But I'm going one step further. So he's our natural father. From the beginning. That's a very good answer. But who is our acting father right now? Innate, by nature. Satan, right? Satan is whom we honor and obey. Don't be ignorant. The only reason why idolatry is so big is because we are slaves to Satan.
Do it.
And we naturally we follow him. The only reason why so much stealing is taking place around us is because we are slaves to sin. And all of this problems in our marriages by nature. That's why. Because we are slaves to our father's
sin.
That's by nature. Now the Passover, they were also, it's symbolic, they were also in bondage under Pharaoh. And they were being whipped if they didn't work hard enough. So are you being beaten if you don't sin enough. Because Satan is a deceiving. First he makes it look very nice. He entices you. You commit the act. Then he beats you. You know how that goes, right? Because when the act is committed and someone knows about it, you fight. I didn't do that.
Right?
He's whipping you. And now your conscience is bothering you. This is the bondage Israel was under. God said, I'm going to deliver you out of that. And I'm going to do it in a mighty way. Now he's saying, Israel, pay very close attention to detail. You're going to take a lamb. You're going to put it in your home. You're going to inspect it. On the 10th day of the first month. You're going to inspect it. On the 14th day, you're going to slay it. So they had to inspect it. Do you know why? Do you know why they had to inspect the lamb? Someone want to help me?
Yeah.
Okay.
They wanted to see if it has no blemish.
Exactly. It cannot have a blemish. It has to be perfect. Now what does that tell us? That Jesus Christ, the lamb,
Brother Yesu Christ amelayimirira mwana wankhosa
is a perfect
na Yesu anali wopanda mvuto wopanda chilema
without blemish
analibe so chilema chimodzi
without sin
analibe chimo kali
mwana. He was telling them that
amene akuzisa zimene zindani.
The Lord said, one day I will send my son Jesus Christ and he will be the lamb.
Munthawi yankhosa ija amawawuza anthu aja kuti tsiku lina ndidzabweretsa mwana wanga Yesu Christ amene adzakhala nkhosa amene.
And I want your children to say,
ndine kufuna ana anu zinena kuti
father
arali.
Why are you inspecting the lamb so much?
Chifeja ni mumuya kana kana mwana nkhosa akufungula zongo nyumba mwa.
And I want the fathers to say.
Nde abambo banga kuti
I have to inspect to make sure there's no blemish.
Ndimone kuti ngati alibe chilema ngapinanga sobundu.
Just like Jesus Christ will be.
Chimodzi Yesu Kristu so anthu adzamuya kana kana ngati alibe chilema.
Will be without blemish.
Ndine so anthu adzampeza kuti alibe vhuruna lilo.
You know where that happened, right?
Mudzomezi zimachitika njani?
You know where Jesus Christ was inspected, right?
Mudzori Yesu ali padziko panonso anthu angamuya kana kana.
What does God's word say?
Mawu ngamati chani?
Pilate
Anaudi Pilato
inspected him.
Anamuunikira Yesu ngati alibe vhuruna lilo.
And he went outside.
Nde Pilato anapita kutsenga.
What did he say?
Anakhojana Pilato kutseri kuja.
I find no fault in this man.
Sindikupeza mlandu inalose mamuntu mabweretsalero uyu.
Si?
Ngwiwa kanije?
I find no fault. I'm inspecting him but I can't find a fault.
Ndamuyangana yangana ngatiringa mpeze mlandu kuti mpani chive nawo koma palibe mlandu wakhala umodzi ndikumpeza nawo.
What did the people say?
Athodali chani?
Crucify him.
Baba mpachikeni, sikupachikeni beni chocho.
Why should I crucify him? What has he done? Ndiyana
kufuna ngani mpachikira chani ngala kwa chani sopano.
I find no fault.
Sina pese vuto mwamene.
And we think Israel, don't you see that now is being fulfilled what God gave you in the past?
Ndiba jaisa dzifusa kuti kodi uIsraeli sukuona kuti zomwe anhu amachita ni nkhosa payamba zilalero zokwanirisidwa.
Where is there a preacher?
Kodi olalikira liku?
Who goes between them?
Amina nda kupita amene pachapo.
This is Israel.
Kwa uzi non Israel.
This is exactly why we inspected the lamb.
Uyu lalori kufuna mupachike chifuwa chozo nthawi jaiti mayangana ngana so mwana wa nkhosa chimodzi modzi zuchitika lerozi.
You know why they weren't there?
Mudzoi fire sapira bene.
They were scattered.
Ose nata tata.
They were scared.
Ali sada baralika.
Let's go on.
Tenti bitrisen.
The lamb would be slain, cut by the throat.
Mwana nkhosa aja kuzingidwa pakhosi.
Blood would be poured out.
Magazi kunakuti mwazi aikidwa kambekete kabeseni.
And then that blood would have to go on the doorpost.
Ndakatero magazi cha mawatenga mkapa kapaka apa tizungulia pakhomo pa.
See, I think you're following.
Kwa muri sada nkhani bene yet?
Because they would be delivered out of Egypt that night.
Chifukwa sikuno sikumene onaloti apulumutsidwa chotsedwa mwikubuto.
The only way to be delivered, you would be
kayori nundira nati pulumutsidwe
out of bondage,
kunja kwandenemeti
of sin,
ndende ya kuchimo,
being obedient to our father the devil.
Pamene feti khawo mvera kwambita rewa athu satana.
The only way to get out,
njira kayori ndingatukemo.
Blood has to be shed.
Ndekuti mwazi unane ukhetsedwe.
Blood has to flow.
Mwezi unane uyende mwazi.
Who did it?
Ndala panga zimene zindano kuti mwazi
uyende. Jesus Christ, blood not flow.
Yesu adazipereka sona kuti mwazi wanga uyende kuti awanza achoke muchimo.
When he was crucified.
Yesu munaona zimene zimene mampachika pantanda pache.
The lamb had to die.
Ndipo chapa mwana wankhosa anafa.
Blood had to flow.
Magaza naendelea.
Jesus Christ had to die.
Yesu Kristu anafa.
His blood had to flow.
Magaza aga naendelea.
On Calvary.
Pantanda wakavale.
You see?
Mukuona?
So there's so many more types.
Sepali zindu zina zambiri.
I would love to take you another 2 or 3 hours through the whole Passover.
Ndinaina kuna ndirenge mphini maola muna awiri kapena atatu kuti ndifurukoze bwino zankhani mene.
They were not allowed to kill in the house.
Samalola kuti saka mapho mwana kusuya mphere nyumba bale sasa. Amauza kupha mphere banja.
Jesus Christ would not be crucified in Jerusalem.
Yesu so sana pachikidwe so nkarika mu Jerusalem.
But outside the gate.
Ana kuti mu Jerusalem mukapachika pa Golgotha.
All these things are beautiful pictures of how Christ fulfilled everything.
So on says is mabereka chitunzi chabuno yo Yesu Kristu so says yana sikwanilisa.
And it's just as important for us than it was for them.
Ndipo zofunika kwambiri kwa ifelero mungapete chika kalero.
We look back.
Ifelima yangana mbuyo.
They look had to look ahead.
Yo acha makabwa yangana mtsukulungu.
You see?
Mukone.
Now. The Passover was killed.
Sono Pasco la wachitika.
They ate unleavened bread.
Anthu adya mkate wopanda chotupitsa.
I feel like I need to move on, but it's so important.
Ndikufuna kuti ndipite kutsogolo koma apa kunimanga miyendo kwambifani kwa mpufunikira kwa basi.
Why did they eat unleavened bread?
Ndifanya na madya ngati wopanda chotupitsa.
The baked cakes.
Amatenga kaya ndi ufa kupanga panga ufoti ligungu paka panga makeke.
They didn't put yeast in.
Koma yeast uja kutupitsa kuti chitupenga chibanzo cha samatsira.
Why?
Chifanya.
What does that mean?
Zilonda zojani zimenezi.
That they didn't put yeast in there.
Samatsira mu yeast fajani.
You see when we are when they were going to leave,
before when they were going to leave,
It didn't have time to rise. They had to bake quick. If you and I are being taken out of bondage, we don't have time to get prideful
and
expand
and
you see? Because we're fleeing for our life. Flee to Christ. You know, so many people now today, they expand. They are proud. They become Christians. I have believed. And it becomes about the people. About the preacher. And not about Christ. Remember this. Now they took the unleavened bread, they ate it with bitter herbs. They dipped it in bitter herbs. They dipped it in bitter herbs. What does that mean? It means that when they dipped it in bitter herbs, that was symbolic of the bitterness of sin. The bitterness of what we need to be delivered from. And Jesus Christ suffered bitterly. Not for his sins, but for his people's sins. So it was all symbolic. Teaching them that one day Christ would come. But it's just not the Passover. The next one was the sheaf of the first fruits. That means that for 7 days they had to celebrate the Passover. And then they had to bring the first fruits. The sheaves. Before the Lord. Alright? That's very symbolic of something else. It means that Jesus Christ, our Passover, is also our first fruits of faith. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and Christ dwelleth in you, you begin to bear fruit. Fruits of grace. Now we're going to pass through that a little. And we're going to go to the next one. What do they have to do next? We read it to you in Exodus. Exodus
1.
We'll read 8 for a moment. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. Then, verse 9 says, 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle in the corn.
It's a bit low. I should just read.
Sure.
So the two numbers?
Verse 9.
69. Yeah. Mudzwelengele masabata asanu ndi awiri. Muyambe kuwelenga masabata asanu ndi awiri. Poyambirira kucheka tirigu wachwi.
So we know something now that they had 7 days eating unleavened bread. That was the Passover. This is how they had to celebrate each year. Then they took the first barley sheaves. Presented it to the Lord. Yes, presented it to the Lord. Waved it before the Lord. What's this symbolic of? It's symbolic that when Jesus Christ rose, that he presented the first fruits to his father.
I taught
this last week, and it's so important that we just know this for a moment.
Do you
remember Jesus Christ stood up from the grave?
3 days after?
What happens
then?
Mary.
Maria.
Wants to touch his feet. What does he say?
Yes,
he says this. Don't touch
me.
I have not yet ascended to my father. Because he had just resurrected. Don't touch me. I need to go to my father to present to my father the I need to go to my father to accomplish the festival of the first fruits. But go tell my brother and I'll meet them in Galilee. Then he goes to his father. And he says, Father, I have accomplished the
task.
And his father says, in that sense, I'm saying with my own words, well done, my son. And he says, Father, now the first fruits. The first fruits of salvation. I present to you. It's all those who believed. Under the Old Testament dispensation. It's so important that we pay close attention, because the Holy Spirit can bless this to your soul. So now he goes up to his father. And he presents all those who believed in faith and were waiting for redemption. What did Jesus say before this? Abraham rejoices to see my day. They were all waiting. And he presented the first fruits. Then he came back. And he said, touch, put your hand in my side. Touch my hand. Now they can touch him. He had fulfilled the festival of the first fruits. What's next? The feast of Pentecost. We read from the day you put the sickle in the corn. To present the first fruits to the priest. So what they had to do is they had to take a little of the barley harvest. That was the first harvest. They had to first present it to the priest. And the priest had to wave it before
the
symbolic of Christ's resurrection. They were absolutely not allowed to go further with the harvest until that was done. Then they could begin to harvest. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? The field is white to be harvested. But the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers. That's what he was talking about. Because there would be a big harvest of Gentiles coming. In the new covenant.
And
it's still happening now. That's why God sent me here. Okay. Are you able to hold all these things together? Then he says this. He says, the moment you begin to harvest, after presenting the sheaf, you will count 7 weeks. And we know 7 days is in a week. You will count 7 weeks, which is 7 times 7 is 49 days. And on the 50th day, the day after, you will celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And what did they do then? How did they celebrate the Feast of Pentecost? They took 2 loaves of bread on the 50th day. 2 loaves. They had to put yeast in there to make it
puffer.
Then they would take those 2 loaves to the priest, and now the priest would wave the 2 loaves. Now this is interesting, isn't it? What is it telling us? First they did the sheaves. Then once the harvest was plentiful, and God proved that they were laboring hard to take the harvest from the fields, then they took some of that grain. Now it's going further. They took some of that grain. They took all they put it on the ground. They beat it and made it into fine flour. What do we see in that? The way that the Pentecost can be celebrated is because Jesus Christ was beaten. Because Jesus Christ became the Passover, now it's very symbolic. The gospel can go out to the world because he was beaten. They said, and we can read this, we don't have time to read it all out. They had to grind it into flour, then sift it. It had to be very fine. It's a picture of Christ, a finished work. Now they have to put yeast in it. Why?
Does
someone want to help me? Why are now they putting yeast in it? Now it has to become big. And then wave it before the Lord. Can someone want to try? To help? I know it's not easy. But if someone wants to try, please
don't help. Meaning the gospel or the good news can be spread to all kinds of people.
Yeah, that's certainly true. But it's very particularly symbolic. It's symbolic of that the finished work of Christ. He wants to.
Oh, I don't
see. My understanding is previously they were slaves.
So now they have been set free from their slavery, and they are free people. So the making of this bread, putting yeast, was meaning like you are now free and you are able to do everything else freely.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Good answer. let me help you just a little bit further. The bread is Christ. The bread of life. The yeast represents the Holy Spirit. And it goes into the bread. And it makes the whole bread. What did Jesus Christ say? A little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. It's the body of Christ.
It's the body of Christ.
Fills with the Holy Spirit. It's the body of Christ.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. And now they're waving that before the Lord. Some kid said, "Can you explain that to us?" Sadly, many of them couldn't. But some could. And they said, "Kids, see that?" That's symbolic. That when the Messiah comes, finishes the Passover work, and the first fruits, he's going to fill his people with the Holy Spirit. And why two breads? I hope I'm not being too difficult for you. But it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the first covenant and the second
covenant.
And this is so important for you and me. Because a lot of people are trying to find life in the Old Covenant. You want me to give you an example where? This is the biggest example. So many people are still trying to keep the law. You won't. You won't do it. Except by faith in Christ alone. He fulfilled it. So he is the bread. So one bread. Jews, not in its literal sense. It is literal as well. And Gentiles. The Jews, or the people of God, who were used to be a picture of the complete church, they are saved by faith. As one. The Jews are saved by faith as well. But they're two different administrations. But one looks towards ahead and sees Christ, and we look back and see him. I need to add one small thing before we move on. Someone says here, yeah, but they were required to keep the law. You know what the problem is? They didn't. Finished. We are required to keep the law as well. We won't. No one ever has. Both for them and for us. By faith, Christ has. I hope you're following
it.
Do not think that you are gaining salvation. By keeping the law. It you are not. It's a
take.
You are disgracing. You're making God a fool. It's not working for you. But by faith, you go into Christ. You get the law for you.
You
finished it all for you. I hope you're receiving this. And that the Holy Spirit might bless it. And why am I putting emphasis on this? Because Malawi is in so much trouble.
Ambiri ali mafuto akulu.
Everyone's trying to keep a law.
Alesa kunyengeza nyengeza kwese sara kuti asongela mulo.
If you look at seventh day.
Mukati muona bla seventh day.
Roman Catholic.
Akatolika.
If you look at even all a lot of these evangelical churches.
Mukava mbiko evangelical kwachukai.
Keep the law.
Tasongela mulo.
You have to do better.
Mutsinyira bwino.
And in the problem is your society is only becoming worse. God cannot bless you if you're trying to keep the law. He wants the law to break you.
He
wants the law to break you. To say, I'm finished. I can't do it. So that by grace you may go in. That's why Romans says this. The law kills. The gospel makes alive. The law is spiritual. I am carnal. Sold under sin. If you begin to believe this and recognize this, you're close to the grace of God. Now let's go a little further. Now, 50th day. Actually, Pentecost means 50. 50th day. They are to wave the two bread, to take two breads with leaven from the harvest and wave them before the Lord. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Now, what did the Lord Jesus say in Acts chapter 2?
Yes,
Christ,
what did you say in Acts chapter 2?
It's actually in Acts chapter 1 yet. He says, as he's ascending, or just before he ascends to heaven, he says, and that's day 40. On day 40, after his resurrection, he took them to the mount.
Disciples,
and told them this. Tarry ye in Jerusalem.
Till
ye be endowed with the Spirit. And we know he went up. For what purpose? He went up to activate the kingdom. To be before his Father. As an interceder. For the people. The New Testament is being opened up. Which we know, God's word says, a new and living way. Hebrews. Speaks all about this. A new and living. Hebrews says this. Be bold to enter into the Holy of Holies. Going in through a new and living way. Before they could never go into the Holy of Holies. That's God's presence. They would die. God would kill them. You can't go into
it.
Except through Jesus Christ. So now, this new and living way, we go to heaven with our hearts. When we pray, we sing, we worship. And how do we go in the presence of God? Only in Jesus Christ. He's our interceder. If we're going by faith. Many people are faking. Leave that for now. And so, Jesus Christ said, tarry you in Jerusalem.
Yesu anawuza kuti inu ophunzira mukhale mu Yerusalemu
until the day of Pentecost.
Mpaka na tsiku la Pentecost lidzafike.
You see, when we read in Acts chapter 2,
mukwana tikawerenga mbuku la machitidwe athu mu chapter 2,
it says as the day of Pentecost was drawing near.
Anoti pamene tsiku la Pentecost limayandikira.
They knew.
Adachadadziwa.
They were praying.
Fanele mabembera.
They for 10 days.
Azimtha masiku 10.
They had come together with 120.
Adakhala malamodzi anthu aja aophunzira 120 mabembera.
Every day praying.
Tsikuna lilo sikubembera.
Because they knew
padadziwa
the Pentecost is drawing near
kuti mzimu woyera atsika kusiboma,
and that's why it says
nde adanena kuti
as the 50th day was dawning,
pamene tsiku la 50 kumawala kuti kwafika lafika,
as the sun came up
pamene dzuwa limatuluka kumawa tsiku la 50
on day 50
patsiku la 50,
and Israel, old Israel,
onse Israeli,
they were still by the temple.
Anali kunja kwa chali chikucha ratadzana.
Waving two breads.
Ama waiva ma bread awiri kunja kucha. Mera zoverera.
Are you following me?
Mukona, eh?
The majority of Israel
anhu ambiri achisaeri
were going on with these feasts.
Chifukwa opuzira osafurozira Yesu adalitsekera mkachise ngatimu. Nda opuzira onza achisaeri ena anatsalawa adali kunja ratadzana.
The mass of Israel had killed the lamb.
Anali tsumena rapakale mbosa yanjana kupiriza bezakale kale zichabwesa mikare yao ibira pika pika.
Are you following me?
Tidimodze?
They didn't believe that Jesus Christ had fulfilled
it. Sada kumbiria kuti zicharima zimangangale kale zicha Yesu azikwanisa vasisisiye. Ayi sada kumbiria.
Isn't that so symbolic of today?
Kuti zicha zikuchitika zimenezo?
The majority of people
and hena ambiri mbiri
are still working in the law.
Akuvutika basipanga chita munthu zakale kale ndoti zinakwanisidwa
kale. Still trying to do things for their salvation.
Akumanga bedzi ndo radzipulumutse pao kufa machita zabwi.
They miss it.
Akusemphana ndi chilunga.
Miss it all.
Akusemphana nacho.
And so the day of Pentecost,
when the sequel of Pentecost
in Jerusalem, there was masses of people
kudaligwa kamuna
bringing two loaves,
inakubalesa mikate viri,
waving them before the Lord,
inakionetsa kumpingo pamaso pa Jehova.
But by the Christians,
kuma Kristu,
something strange was
happening. Chinjaka chidendo tsukumeno chidachitika.
Something very strange.
Chinjaka chidendo chidachitika.
And it began to be noised about.
Ndekunja kuna mfaka phokoso phokoso.
You should see what's happening by those 120 Christians.
Ino dalinga luda a Christu 120 amene wachimichika ncha.
They said, what is going on?
Anhu vari chikuchitika ncha.
Very strange things.
Kanga rikumva phokoso rakuisa pamiri.
So they all started coming running.
Ndewosa namba bwera kuthama.
And they were looking.
Anayanga.
And they seen two on the disciples, they seen two a cloven tongue of fire.
Ndi amakaya akayangana pa window mayangana ophunzira Yesu jangati mucha amone radiese ali ndi chinjolopio cha moto chinjolopio cha moto chinanga chimakapa nkhuku chicha ndi cha moto.
What is this?
Ndi amati chimeje chanjani mechi.
What is this?
Ine cha moto iba muri chanjani ali sauna ani cha moto pa muto.
And then they were listening.
Ndi amamvetse.
And one was talking in Chinese.
Ndi wina mankwa chichaina.
Another one in Chichewa.
Wina chichewa kali mucha.
Another one in Dutch.
Wina chidash kali mucha.
Another one in English.
Wina chingereza kali mucha.
They only ever knew the Bible in Hebrew.
And the mangozo the Bible ida mbiro chi Hebrew ndipo to sefer nani ndipembeza chi Hebrew yoka.
How are they talking to each other?
Ndi chifanya basi mbembeza chi Hebrew ala sa mfanya kudu yake chi fejan.
Isn't this glorious?
Mizu sizo mungu zimene.
So some people who had just waved the bread.
Nda mina kunja kuna mina maofa na mikare yao ya verevere.
Want nothing to do with Jesus Christ.
Amene Yesu Kristo anabela sonchito.
Ah no.
Amadai.
These men are drunk.
Makosa nawa ndi kuti amwacha kumachuchuka wao agwetsa mbia.
See, they didn't understand.
Mukona nkhani ya samabisa za Mungu. Samabisa so pomwe.
Peter says.
Pedro ananena kuti.
Brethren.
Mako abalan.
Please listen to me.
Tamvetsani kwa ine.
Listen to what I have to tell you.
Tambetsani joma ndikuze.
You didn't believe that Jesus Christ.
Yes, rabwela simuna nkubirire.
Was our Passover.
Kuti iye jandana ndinkade omaliza.
You're still celebrating the actual Passover.
Mukubirire zabe kukondolera za Pascha zimuzi zidapita kale kale.
And you missed it.
Ndewo ndi mulakwitsa.
You're still bringing lambs.
Mbwe sabe anankhosa.
But you missed it.
Kuti amene wapherepa.
That man who you crucified.
Mkulu jamuda mupha pantanda kucha.
He is the finisher of the Passover.
Zose muchitalo zakazi kwani sangana amene uja.
He is the Passover.
Iye ujandali mkate tsopano pa Pascha amene
uja. Now he's our 50th day Pentecost.
Tsopano lero ndi tsiku la 25 la Pentecost.
People were so confused.
Anthu atukuma zifuro zankhulu zisiri kudzipezesa.
Some people.
Ndipo anthu ena.
They began to think.
Namba kulingalira.
Began to think.
Kuganizira.
Could it be true?
Is one of them.
Could it be true?
Could it be true? Could it be true? Could it be true?
That man that we crucified?
Kujadina mupha uchi pantano uja?
So, we don't have to bring a lamb because he is the lamb. And we crucified him. If it's true, we're in trouble. See, some people, the Holy Spirit began to work in their hearts. That's exactly what happens today. When the Holy Spirit begins to work in your soul, you begin to repent. That's why there's so wrong idea of repentance. A lot of people teach you have to repent from your sin. No.
Yeah.
No, that's not what he meant there. Repenting from your sins is not going to save you. What Peter was meaning
was,
repent from not believing that Christ has finished all.
You
see, they were hearing a gospel. The gospel in each language. And one man who got the gift of being able to speak Chichewa. He was telling the Chichewa, the people who spoke Chichewa, about Jesus Christ. And another one was in another language. People were getting convicted. The problem is this. They were coming together. A whole bunch of people already left them. They're drunk. They went back to the temple. Poor people who get touched with the gospel and say, forget it. I have my culture. I have my tradition. Poor people. But some people were beginning to think. They were saying, is this true? Would this be true? That man we crucified? He's the Passover
man?
And he's also the Pentecost? They were getting scared. They were getting convicted. Because Peter was preaching the truth. And finally they couldn't take it anymore. They said what? What did they say? Help me. What did the people say? When they were so convicted. Man and brethren, what should we do to be saved? If it's true that we killed the Messiah, what are we
going to
do?
This
is the work of the Holy Spirit. And what does Peter say? Repent. And believe the gospel. You were angry at Jesus. You said, no, you're not the Messiah. Repent from that. And now say, you are the Messiah. You are saying, we have Moses, we have a law. You're not the Son of God. And Peter was saying, repent from that. Repent from thinking that the law is going to save you. It's not. This is what Joel prophesied of. You see, they began to be broken. And you know what he also said? He says, because these people were saying, Peter, we did something worse. We not only crucified him, but we said something very terrible. Children, either in or out, okay? Otherwise, it's distracting. Come. Take a seat. I hope you are listening too. These are big lessons for you. God, the Holy Spirit can come in your heart too. So what they, were saying this. They were saying it's worse than this. Not only did we crucify him, but we said something terrible. And it was bothering them. You know what they said? Remember at the cross? Crucify him! Crucify him! And what was being said? What did Pilate say? I am free from the blood of this man. And what did they say? What did the people say? His blood be upon us and our children. They cursed their children. So they were saying this. If he is the way, we just put his that the Messiah's blood, the curse of his blood upon our children. Peter, what about our children? What does Peter say? In Acts chapter 2, we'll read just that verse. Two verses. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and believe every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And
then what does he say next?
Verse 39.
For the promises unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Pakuti lonjezano lili kwa inu ndikwa ana anu ndikwa onse akutali onse amene Ambuye Mulungu wanu adzaita.
So Peter said this. It's for your children too. You put the curse on your children. And it'll stay. Except if they come by faith. Then the curse you put upon them will be gone. But all who do not repent and believe the gospel, the curse stay upon them. They will go lost. But there is a promise now in Christ.
Christ.
So the Pentecost in the Old Testament, when they counted 7 days and 7 weeks, and then the 50th day, they brought the two bread. All pointed to the 50th day. That Christ would symbolically wave the breads before his Father. You know what the Lord Jesus said in heaven? He said, Father, you and I are one. Father, one bread. For the Jews. One for the Gentiles. They are becoming one. Both receive the Holy Spirit. Father, one bread is the Old Testament dispensation that is all fulfilled now in me. The other is for the Gentiles. That's also all fulfilled in me. And Father accepted it. And because there was yeast in that bread, and the bread became big, same thing today. And then, the Holy Spirit was given as a gift to the people. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Peter uses Joel. He says your sons will prophesy. Your fathers will dream dreams. What does he mean by that? They will have the Holy Spirit. So that through the Holy Spirit they will prophesy. Which means testify of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
And that's exactly what was happening there. They didn't need a priest anymore. They didn't need the altar anymore. They didn't have the Holy of Holy anymore. They didn't have to bring lambs anymore. They didn't have to bring real sheep anymore. They didn't have to bring bread anymore. It began to come out of their heart. They began to describe everything. If the Holy Spirit was given to them. And that's the same thing with today. If you are saved in Christ, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you begin for the first time in your life to see glorious things. You begin to read God's word and say, oh, now I see it. I heard a lot about his blood, but now I understand. You begin to go page after page. And sometimes you say, Lord, I don't understand. And what happens? When you pray, you say, Lord, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Activate it. In the name of Jesus Christ. He hears that prayer. You know, sometimes we're so carried away with our daily life. And we're not reading his word. Then we go to his word. I thought I was supposed to get the Holy Spirit to understand this. But what does God's word say? Quench not the Holy Spirit. We don't use the Holy Spirit like a wrench. You know when the car breaks down? We need a wrench? This is not how the Holy Spirit. And we throw the wrench back in the toolbox when we're done. That's how a lot of people. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you have hope of eternal life, you are busy. You can't go through a day. It's automatic. Without having communion with God. It simply means praying from your heart. Speaking with God in a way that is scriptural. So when you thank him, when you praise him, it's alive. You know he hears you. And when you worship him from your heart, you know he's being worshipped. You take his word each day. Tell me more. Oh, precious spirit. I need you to help me understand. Make this alive. In the morning, when you wake up, do you take your word? Even just read two or three verses. Say, Lord, help me to receive this truth so that I may glorify you with it. Teach me. Guide me through my day. Let me find time this in the afternoon to read your word with my wife, with my husband, and my children. And bless it to my soul. And if it's not being blessed to my soul, discover me. Discover me, Holy Spirit. Tell me what the problem is. So I can repent again. You see? That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what else you get the gift of the Holy Spirit? What else do believers get the gift of the Holy Spirit for? Now, I need to tell you something. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have not been born again, the Holy Spirit is not active. Be sure of that. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, what else do you get in the working of the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is alive in your soul, what else? It's beautiful. You know how that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. You get the active power in Christ to be a lawkeeper. And that is so glorious. Then it begins to change in your life. Maybe before you were an adulterer, but now the desire is gone. Why? Not because you changed, because Christ dwelleth in you, and because he fulfilled that law for you. Automatically the Holy Spirit gives you a desire. And that's why, even though we fight against flesh and blood, even as a believer, the Holy Spirit helps you. And if his word and his spirit helps you to live a holy life for him. It just means this. Maybe before you were a drunkard. And it doesn't matter what you do. You couldn't change that. It was your life. Maybe you say it was my culture. Traditions. My life is rough. That's why I drink. And since I drink and get drunk, I can't help it because I'm out of control. I swore. I beat my wife. In one word, I hate God. But now because Jesus Christ is in me, and the Holy Spirit is empowering me. Now it's not, oh, I don't do that no more because that's bad. No.
Yeah.
It's painful for you. And the Holy Spirit in you says, no. No, I can't. Because it's not Christ's desire. So it's also not my desire. You know, a lot of people say their salvation is this. They used to do bad things. Now they do good things. That's not your salvation. Christ is your salvation. If that's true, that you used to do bad things, and now you do good things, it's only because of the merits of Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with you. There is nothing to boast in. It's only because Christ finished it for you. And now empowers you through the Holy Spirit to fight against evil. And why do we fight against evil? Because it pains our Savior. So I used to go to other women's house. And even though my conscience bothered me a little bit, Satan, my master, said, do it. I don't care. And then even children come out. I don't care about those. Look what's happening in Malawi. All kinds of children from all kinds of women. And all the children don't have, many children don't have fathers. I don't care. But after salvation, then maybe deep in your heart, you say, you remember these things. And it even can get so far that you struggle with it. But now Jesus Christ walks beside you and says, son, what are you thinking? Lord, it's bothering me. It's bothering me that even my eyes would look at something I couldn't look at. And what does Jesus Christ say? Look at me. I am your life. I am your law. Look at me. Isn't that precious? Isn't that deep love? He doesn't beat you. He said, what are you doing? No, he understands. He knows. He knows better than you. You know why he knows better than you? Because he suffered and died for your sins. If anyone knows the pain of sin, it's him. He died for it. He was beat for it. The sin of his people was laid on him. Adultery was laid on him. Not his own adultery. People's adultery. He suffered. And he hung on the cross. And he would not give up. Christ, it's not even your own sin that you're suffering for. Remember the one hanging beside him? If you're really the Christ, save yourself. Come off the cross. And save us too. And the other murderer said, this man is innocent, but we are guilty. That's grace. That's grace. Jesus Christ. Yes, of course. Imagine he would have came off the cross. He could have called 1,000 legions of angels and put fire on everyone. Because he's God. He didn't. Why not? Because he loves sinners too much to do that. Because he loves sinners to death. You have no power over yourself. You have no power over Satan. If you're still struggling, still trying to do something, still trying to change your life, stop! Stop! It's not going to work. Christ did it all. And today you may look by faith unto him and receive the Holy Spirit. There's so much more that I need to tell you about Pentecost. But I think it's so much. But I want you to remember this. Pentecost. 50th day. 50th day that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As in a symbolic way, Christ waved the two loaves of bread. With leaven. So the Holy Spirit could go out. Isn't that what he said to the disciples? It's expedient for you that I go. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send the Comforter. This is what John speaks of. You see? It's expedient. It's good for you that I go. And I will send the promised Holy Spirit. And He will dwell among you. In your hearts. And He will tell you everything. He will open the Word. He will tell you about the Old Testament symbolism. And He will tell you what's to come. The very last book, Revelations. And He will all tell you everything about me. Until I return to this earth on the last day, until I come back on the clouds, and then everything is finished. So the festival of Pentecost is still active today, and we pray that it may be as powerful as it was on the 50th day, where 3,000
went
to faith, and maybe even today, in China, Japan,
Canada,
Malawi,
Zambia,
South Africa,
Yemen,
Europe,
Germany,
all around this world. The Holy Spirit is working and bringing people to faith. 3,000 today? Throughout the whole world? Is that what you prayed for today? Is Pentecost beginning to have a new meaning for you? If you are saved by grace, this is your prayer for our kids. For your family. For your husband or wife. Your mother or your father. That the power of Pentecost may come about. You won't see real flames. You won't see two breaths. But you will see something different. You know what we'll see? They will come together.
She,
that lady, she used to go every day to the borehole. She used to say such mean things about other people. But now she's so tender. So sad. That man used to go to the bar tent. I used to see him every day. Stumbling over the road. Swearing. Cursing. He used to hit his wife. Now I see him walking on the road with so much joy. And he tells people, believe in Jesus Christ, for He is the Savior.
For
He is the Savior. That's recognizing the Pentecost. That's when we start to see in a person or in a couple, in a family, that Pentecost is, the fire of Pentecost is working. And it's happening today. And I'm longing and praying that it would happen in such abundant ways that whole villages, here, people would have to say, this village, like they would have to come running. Like at Pentecost. What is happening in this village? What's happening in Chatsunda? It used to be filled with prostitutes and loud music at night. There's no loud music anymore. It's quiet at 10 o'clock. There's no more prostitutes. It used to be filled with all little tents here and there. But it's all gone. And there's something strange happening in this village. They used to have so many charms in their clothes. But they put them all in a pile and burned them all. What is happening there? That's my prayer. That's my hope. Is it yours too? Because if it's not, You maybe not be active in the Holy Spirit. But I, my prayer is that your, that it's your prayer as well. And if it is, the Holy Spirit is actively working. I have to end with this. Although I just want to go on all afternoon. There's so much more to tell you. But we hope next week we will be going over from Pentecost over to the Feast of Trumpets. And we're going to tell you more about the seven feasts. We're at the fourth one now. Which is Pentecost. And next week, remember Leviticus 23? The next thing it talks about is the trumpets. I hope you are ready to listen to that one. Because it's equally beautiful. The Lord bless His word. And the teaching.
Amen.